You're listening to the podcast with a K from Casterbis. I'm Christian Corley, and in this week's show, we are naturally going to take a look at the first episode of Doctor Who, Series 12, Spyfall, Part 1, which aired on New Year's Day. Due to the scheduling of the first two episodes of Series 12, we have kind of a compact podcast for you this week, which starts with me chatting with Gareth Gavanna, and then we'll take a look at the Facebook comments from you guys, many of our listeners. But first, it's me and Gareth Gavanna chatting about Spyfall Part 1. So, joining me on the podcast this week is Gareth Gavanna, regular stalwart of the show, likes to pop in and out.
I do. I breeze in like a summer breeze.
You know? Like a summer breeze. It's a summer breeze kind of a guy. He's a very happy, positive chap, this guy.
I am. There's always something to enjoy in everything.
Absolutely.
Apart from maybe time in the Raleigh.
Devil's Advocate, Horns of Nymon. I wouldn't say that myself.
Oh, much to enjoy Horns of Nymon, but you know, that's a whole other podcast.
Several other podcasts.
Yes.
So we are obviously here to discuss Spyfall Part 1 in this slightly smaller than usual Casterbis podcast. And, you know, it went down a storm with fans, but doesn't seem to have done too well with the general public, with the overnight figures being rather modest, shall we say. Now, Gareth and I haven't really talked about Doctor Who with Jodie in ever, I don't think. So the question has got to be, how did you find it?
Well, we have talked about Jodie's Doctor Who. We raved about a lot of last year's, you know, the high quality one with the frog.
Well, you see the problem. Oh, the high quality one with the frog, of course. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I still love that. That was 2 years ago, though.
It was 2 years ago. How did I find it? Well, I think it showed all the strengths and weaknesses of the current format. It rattled along at tremendous pace, but I never really felt that anything kind of touched the sides either. There was quality in there. I thought that Lenny Henry was particularly good.
He was good.
He had that nice sort of slightly grumpy menace about him. I know people are saying he's a little bit more like a little bit like Tobias Vaughan, but he's not. He's not. He was more like a sort of grumpy Alan Sugar, I thought.
Yeah.
He had that sort of grouchiness to him, but he was good. It was a really good turn. It looked like it had a lot of money spent on it. I never really felt much was at stake. What's his name? Fry. Fry felt a little bit redundant in that nice one scene. Would have been nice to have seen him to have had a bit more to do. I enjoyed it, but I'm not sure I'd watch it again, apart from maybe the last few minutes, which were nice.
Indeed, yes. Masterful, one might say.
Well,
indeed. Yeah. Now, I have watched it twice.
Okay.
I watched it once on the night, not live, an hour or so later on iPlayer, and then again the next morning with the boy. And yeah. He was a bit stumped at first. He didn't realise it was the master. He thought it was the master of the monsters.
Okay, that also makes sense.
But on the other hand, you know, when we watched the first episode of season 11, and long-running listeners will perhaps recall this, he sat there for about 15 minutes thinking he was watching the wrong show.
Yeah.
This time around, straight into the action. And I do think that when, you know, a show like this, it does have to get straight into the action rather than spending 15 minutes setting up new characters.
Yes.
Those new characters need to be identifiable. They need to be archetypes, don't they? And if you spend 15 minutes setting them up, then maybe they're not as archetypal as you perhaps planned them to be. This time around, we've got an archetypal spy master, so you know exactly who Stephen Fry is when he appears five minutes in.
That's true.
Got the black situation. It just all works fine. And you got the old pre-credits bit with all the mysterious monsters doing their thing. It just works. But the pre-credits
the pre-credits was good where they were bumping off all the spies.
Cool, who isn't it? It just works. Yeah.
So that was homaging. I suppose who's at its best when the material that it's ripping off. Or homaging or ripping off you know, when that's on display, when it's clear and it shows what it is. So yeah, that really felt like a superb Bond pre-credits sequence. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think a lot of this episode worked in ways that season 11, more or less as a whole, just didn't. Expected. It was trying to. It did what it was intended to do, but I feel that what it was intended to do isn't what the audience was expecting it to do.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I've been thinking about this because I knew we were going to have a chat about this, and it's been sort of bothering me. There's a couple of things been bothering me about this for the last couple of days, because I've spent the last 3 days watching the Dracula, which I thought was excellent. I looked at the overnight ratings and I thought, oh yeah, that is a bit low. You know, you can sort of layer on whatever you want on it, but that is low.
Yeah,
I have to confess, when it went out, I completely forgot it was on. And my mum rang me up and she said, oh, I won't be on long because I know Doctor Who's starting in 5 minutes. And I was like, wow, really? Shit. And I was out doing something else. I was out repairing a machine. So I watched it on catch-up after I'd finished Dracula, because I missed it. Because I have to say, I didn't really get, there was hardly any promotion compared to Dracula.
Yeah, yeah.
Dracula seemed to be completely in your face. You know, New Year's Day, New Year's Day, New Year's Day, Dracula, Moffat, Dracula, Gatiss, Dracula, Dracula. You know, those nice, sexy hoardings.
Yes, you know, it's stunning, isn't it, as well?
There was no missing that was on. And now Doctor Who, I vaguely remember a kind of general, ooh, it's coming back, but New Year's Day didn't seem to be a part of it. So it does feel like a big marketing fail, although maybe it also shows the status of Doctor Who in the BBC now, whereas, you know, Moffat's Dracula is big event TV, and I don't know what the overnights on Dracula have been, but I bet they've been good. Certainly the critical acclaim for it's been right up there, whereas Doctor Who is now just love it, like it, or lump it, is another returning series, so it's Doctor Who is back, so it's not as big a story. Nonetheless, it did miss me, but I do think that this is the bigger problem now that Who has got, because I was ruminating over this because I knew this would come up, is that the format is completely wrong now. Doctor Who cannot go on with these little single stories or maybe a couple of two-parters and expect to be able to tell interesting stories that are sufficiently action-packed but also dramatically satisfying. I think they're selling the concept now badly short. And yeah. I thought that, much as I loved, I mean, I really did love what Sacha Dhawan did with The Master, everything up until that point was basically just running round exciting action set pieces. And this idea that you can't tell longer stories is completely nailed by the seismic shift towards, you know, box sets dropping in one go streaming that lets you tell one big story. This idea that every Saturday is a potential new jumping on point for someone, so you have to always tell a single story, is exactly how TV was in 2000, but it isn't anymore. And I think if we stick with this same format, then Doctor Who is going to die. Or it's going to need to be taken off air for a long time and completely retooled as a streaming, you know, as a more streaming package.
Perhaps the most frustrating thing about this is a conversation that you and I and James have had repeatedly. You and I have had it repeatedly. Yeah. James and I have had it repeatedly, all recorded and on the podcast. And I don't think we're the only podcast saying this either.
No, but you see, and because you have to have a different story every week, it's making Doctor Who unnecessarily, either making it unnecessarily expensive or unnecessarily cheap, because you can have one where it's not some nice filming in South Africa, and then you get another one where you're basically in a shopping centre with four speaking parts because one has to pay for the other.
Yeah.
And I just think it just, you know, just as when Doctor Who went off the air in 1989, it was an old way of making TV, sort of 25-minute episodes, because all the US stuff that was coming was all self-contained 50 minutes. Now we're also behind the times with our self-contained 50-minute episodes. When the market has shown that people want big, satisfying 10-hour feasts, And I thought Dracula showed that. You know, Dracula, they kind of had the cake and eaten it, because, yeah, it was one a night, but it was because it was an hour and a half and they were streamed over three nights. That was the closest experience I can think of in terms of binging something that is for broadcast as I would consume something online. So yeah. It doesn't surprise me that the overnights have been sluggish. It really doesn't. Because
then again, you could say that Russell T. Davies predicted this with Torchwood: Children of Earth in 2010.
Yeah, but I also wonder how much of that was forced on him. You know, I would imagine that the idea was that was going to be 5 weeks of stuff, and I'd imagine at some point in the planning, someone went, "We haven't really got anything for. How'd you fancy stripping it over a week and see how that looks?" Because I don't think the BBC had tremendous faith in Torchwood by then. But it happened to turn up in a year when there was no Doctor Who on. But it worked. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to be a damn, because of course it's lovely that Doctor Who's back, but I just think the format sells it short. Because, you know, Lenny Henry, wonderful. But how many scenes did he have in that? About four?
Not enough.
8 minutes of screen time. Yeah, say he has the same in the next episode. That means that Lenny Henry will have had about 16 minutes of screen time, and no one will remember that in a year's time. No one will remember that in 5 years' time. If this was like a big 10-episode miniseries and Lenny Henry was like, you know, had a much bigger part in it, or you could give Lenny Henry like almost 40 minutes of screen time in one episode as a flashback or something, then we would remember him. So I think it's a weakness of the format now that's really beginning to show.
There are some positive from this episode. There is, for instance, the fact that all the companions had something to do, and Yaz in particular managed to shine a bit as well. What do you think of that? Where do you think of that hairy place?
The hairy place?
The hairy place. That's what I called it. The strange realm she got transported to and the Doctor got transported to at the end.
Well, the whole thing's about DNA. They looked like big DNA strands to me.
Mm-hmm.
So whether they're in some kind of DNA repository, they'll turn out to be some bunch of avid collectors. You know, I mean, much as I would love the invisible baddies to be the Nymon, I don't think they are.
I was thinking they might be the Axons at one point.
They do look a bit Axon-y, but I think that's just down to those tendrils. I think it'll be a brand new. It's a brand new villain that's a bit DNA-obsessed, because I can't think of any DNA-obsessed villains from the previous run. None.
No.
And it's a bit of a step for the Vord to suddenly become his universe-conquering thing, when really it just looked like a couple of blokes in rubber suits with knives. It's a bit of a step up, is that one?
Yeah, it is.
I really don't think it's the Zabi. Could be wrong, but I don't think it is. So I think it'll be a new, it'd be a brand new Chibnall creation, some kind of DNA harvesting, conquering. And I guess it'll be something like, if we can join everyone's DNA together, then the universe will be a whole and it'll be great. And we can knit everything together.
One of those lunatics.
One of them DNA lunatics. Yeah.
Yeah. Commonly seen around these parts.
The Saturday one was good though, wasn't it?
It was excellent. Yeah, it was really good. He played it really interestingly as the kind of the character before unveiling himself.
Well, the twist, the twist was really good actually, because not that he was the master, but the twist that, because I thought, oh well, here we go, here's Saturday one. He's a really nice chap. Everyone kind of loves him. He's going to become the sort of spare doctor in the storyline. He can split that up, and then eventually he'll do something heroic or superb or something grisly and horrible that will happen to him, and that will spur the Doctor into a bit of moral outrage, pull a few levers and fix it. So the idea that he was the master, I didn't see that coming at all.
No.
And then you go, well, yeah, that's a great, so it's a, and it's a great bit of casting. The only thing I'm sad about is that means we won't get Sasha as a Doctor now, because I've always had Sacha Dhawan as my sort of, that's who I would like as the Doctor.
Yeah. He's yeah, I mean, he's a great actor, and he's done so much work over the past few years as well. I'd read something where he was taking photos with Doctor Who fans at a convention.
Yeah.
So he's purely on the strength of him playing Warris Hussein in Adventure.
Oh, he's a super Warris, to be fair.
Yeah. So he's been having these photos taken with all these fans, keeping absolutely stum about this. I mean, that's a whole new level of professionalism, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Super Warris.
Yeah, so we've got a nice Northern Master in there.
Very stylish. I hope we see a bit more of him than in these first two. That's good.
And before we carry on with this week's Casterbury's podcast with a K, a quick reminder that you can subscribe.
What are you doing, Daddy?
I'm explaining to all the nice listeners who listen to our podcast how they can subscribe using iTunes and Spotify. And that means, well, that means, darling, that whenever we release a new episode of the podcast, they just get a notification on their phone or their tablet or their computer telling them that they can listen to us again.
Oh.
Okay, so we're going to finish off this week's podcast with a K, with a look at some of your thoughts on Spyfall Episode 1 via our Facebook page. You can join it by just searching Facebook for Casterbris Doctor Who Podcasts and More, and then click join, and you too can get updates when we publish new content, and you can leave your own thoughts as well. So we posed a very simple question, so go on, what did you think of Spyfall? And we've had so many replies, interesting replies, in-depth replies. Greg Bartlam, fab stuff, 8 out of 10, picked up halfway through. Katie Poole, interesting story, intriguing twists, saw who the baddie was from a mile off but didn't guess their true identity, which I think is a big part of the success of the episode. Andy Kaminsky, really good, I wanted to keep watching, a good pace, could follow the story, and great plot twist at the end, genuinely didn't see it coming. Who did? Gareth Hunt, not bad, Chibnall starting to show signs of understanding Doctor Who. Possibly contentious in some regards. Better to come, I expect, he says, especially now that he's given himself and other writers the opportunity to build more depth and multi-episode stories. Nick Caulfield, several times that episode delivered a sense of jeopardy. When Yaz and Ryan go into Lenny Henry's place, I thought their cover would be blown. When the two Australians were under threat, I had no idea whether they would make it to the end of the scene or not. Yeah, this is a really good point. There's some good examples of tension being delivered in the episode where, you know, maybe in Series 11, that type of dramatic tool was not employed. Nick continues, I'd strayed clear enough of even trailers, let alone spoilers, that the reveal at the end only just dawned on me as it was happening. Yeah, same for me, to be honest with you. Gary Akers, interesting villains, but Jodie Whittaker remains the acting, was a bit harsh this, the acting / charisma black hole at the heart of the show. That will always, emphasis there is Gary's, limit how successful this era is, no matter what changes / upgrades they make in other areas. I would beg to be the advocate of the devil on this occasion and perhaps suggest we wait until the series is completed. Hamish Bell, well, that is a bit more like it. Best Jodie Whittaker episode by a very long shot. Luke James, best episode since Chibnall became showrunner. Great twist, and Jodie thankfully reined in. Alex Tai, it was all right. The best episode with this Doctor so far. The spy stuff was vaguely ridiculous, but the reveal was exciting. This is an interesting observation here from Alex. I find Jodie, like Eccleston, struggles to get the humour side of the character right. But it's got him interested enough for the second part. Tom Ford, actually better than I thought it would be. Loved the reveal of the Master, especially as I thought the character was a bit off. And I thought it was bad acting at first before the reveal. Another good point here. Will be interesting if it remains consistent
as the second half has a different director. And episode two has a different director than episode one of Spyfall. Andrew Dick, it was okay, an improvement and an exciting twist at the end. Still not convinced by Jodie. And Rob Preston, same old storytelling with a desperate twist and panto villain acting. Well, I mean, it is Doctor Who. Now, as noted already, you can join in with the comments on Facebook, and we invite you to do the same for episode two of Spyfall. This is a shorter than usual Casterbus podcast because we're racing to get the next one prepped, recorded, and ready for you. So if you're coming to this a few days late, just move on to the next one now. Big thanks to Gareth Kavanagh. I've been Christian Corley, and until the next Casterbus podcast with a K, it's goodbye.
This is a Beyond Casterbus podcast, available on iTunes, Audioboom, Stitcher.com, Player FM, and BeyondCasterbus.com.